If you would take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to have a brief Bible study together tonight in verses 10 through 15. And I want to share with you tonight and then again next Wednesday evening, Lord willing, on the subject of Spiritual Economics 101. Spiritual Economics 101, beginning at verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what it is wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you, forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, as we look at some thoughts tonight from this passage of Scripture, that you would encourage us, Father, to be willing to sacrifice for your interests. We pray, Father, that you would help us not to be self-centered. Help us not to follow the culture, which is extremely selfish. I pray, Father, that we might understand that we're called to a different life. And I pray that you might strengthen us and encourage us through your Holy Spirit tonight as we consider these truths. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think a little bit of background is in order. 2 Corinthians was written as a defense by the Apostle Paul against the smears and the lies that had been spread throughout the Corinthian church concerning Paul's ministry and his motives. He had been very courteous to the Corinthians. He was of no burden to them. He did not ask anything of them. He freely gave of his talents. He freely gave of his energy, his time, his teaching, his preaching. He was a man that had poured his heart out, and yet there were some that had spread lies about the Apostle Paul, and the Corinthians believed them. And because Paul had invested so much in the Corinthian church, he came back to them and says, I'm about to come a third time to you, and I'm coming and I'm going to defend myself because the things that have been said to you and that you have believed are not true. And he said, I have the facts on my side. You know, I'm disturbed by people that don't let facts get in the way of the truth. It's an amazing thing today where you can share facts with people and it's like, whoosh, you know, they're so emotionally oriented that you can't even talk on a reason level with them. And that's how he felt with the Corinthian church. He said, I've written to you on at least two occasions. I'm coming a third time unto you. And I'm going to defend myself because the lies that have been spread about me and the things you have believed are absolutely not true. And I don't want this to go against you in regard to your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not about what I can get from you, he says in this passage. I'm about you, your faith, your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things that are emphasized here in verse 15 that I want to share with you concerning this fact. Now, what does it take to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 15 is so powerful and full of rebuke for us all. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. There you have Christian ministry. I don't think that there's a Christian that's walked with the Lord for any period of time that doesn't say amen to that. Mr. Woods and I have talked a number of occasions about teaching in a Christian school. He's got almost 40 years of experience of teaching in a Christian school, and There are days that you get up and say, Lord, I don't know whether this is worth it. Boy, it just seems like the longer you go, the more difficult it gets. Sometimes it seems like you're banging your head against the wall, and that's exactly how the Apostle Paul felt. But What did he say? I will gladly spend and be spent, all right, and be spent for you, literally for your soul, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, I'm not doing this by what I'm going to get from you. I'm doing this for the glory of God. And I want to pull out a few words here from the original language, from verse 15, and then we're going to, hopefully over the next two Wednesday nights, we'll share some thoughts about Spiritual Economics 101. Because this goes completely against the culture and understanding of things. And this is a perfect message for us in Faith Promise Month, I believe, because it teaches us about what true value really is. Is true value found in things you possess here in this world? You think about a Bernie Madoff right now that's sitting in jail, who was a billionaire. I say was. He's a nothing-aire now. All right? Oh, he lived. He had houses up in New York, on the Hamptons. He had a house down in West Palm Beach, Florida. I mean, he was living the good life. He had money coming out as goozler, as Gator would say. And everything was going until he got caught. And now Bernie Madoff is a nothing. He doesn't have a friend in the world. He doesn't have his wife anymore. She divorced him. His boys don't want anything to do with their dad. He absolutely has nothing. That's called the principle of retribution in the Bible, because he had taken away from so many people so that he might have. That's the world's economics. It's step on who you can step on, get what you can get, hold and keep whatever you can get and keep from this world, but that's not spiritual economics. That's not how God operates at all. Paul says, I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though I get nothing in return. Now, this is where you can judge your spiritual walk with the Lord. Are you to the place where you can say that? As a Christian, are you to the place where you can say with the Apostle Paul and have full heart agreement with what he says, I will gladly spend and be spent, though the more I love, the less I am loved. That right there is the crux and the core of Christian living. And there are very few people that are at that place. They've not come to understand this. They've not come to that place. And yet this is what Paul wanted for the church at Corinth. The church of Corinth is very much like the church of today. Dr. Gary Gilley, who wrote several books, one of them that's more popular that I've read is This Little Church Stayed Home. I don't know if you've read that book or not. But he called the church at Corinth the church of the empty word. The church of the empty word. They believed anything and everything the culture had to say. They were permissive. They were tolerant of just about everything. Remember back in the first letter that he wrote to them? They had a man that had moved in with his mother-in-law. And they were tolerating this. This was acceptable behavior in their church. They were taking each other to court and suing each other over the least little thing. They were not acting like believers at all. They were acting like little children. And by the way, that's borne out in several passages, that they were living in an immature world. And I want to tell you something, that's where we are today. We are so childish and immature in our Christian walk. We're like little babies that have to be fed milk all the time. And God says, I want you to be mature. I want you to dine on the full meat of the Word of God, but you're not ready for that yet. I'm still having to bottle feed you. And for Christians that are in a situation like we are, where we have the truth and we have the Word of God and we have an understanding, we need to be growing to the place where we can say with the Apostle Paul, I will spend and will be spent. Now let's go on to those words for just a moment. These are striking. First of all, he says, before he says spend and be spent, he puts the word what? Gladly. Now that's not a word that we would put necessarily by spending anything, right? No one likes to cut a check to an insurance company. No one wants to write a big check out to the pharmacy for all the drugs and stuff that have to be purchased. No one likes to write that big check to the power company for the bill, for the heat for December. That's not going to be fun, and wait till the January bill gets here in a few weeks. All right. No one enjoys doing that. But Paul says, I gladly, interesting Greek word, hedista is the Greek word, and it's a superlative, which means most gladly, all right? Most gladly will I spend and be spent. And that takes us to the next word, spend. Dapanao is the Greek word. It's a future indicative active, and it means to spend money freely without withholding a penny. You find it hard to say to the Shell person down there when you go down and get one of those 79-cent drinks, which turns out to be 85 cents, and you've got maybe just, you know, the coinage, whatever, and there's 2 or 3 cents that they're going to pay back to you, and you say, oh, just keep it. All right? Now, growing up, we didn't say keep it. All right? Every penny went right back in the pocket. I mean, we kept it for every little thing. We were getting bubble gum, chewing gum anytime we could. But it says here, this word spend, dapanao, means to spend freely without withholding a penny. And then he goes on further and says, and be spent for your soul. That word is a compound word, 15 letters long in the Greek language. Dapanao being the middle word with a prefix and a suffix that's added to the word. And it means to spend utterly, to use up. To use up. You know, I like it when my wife has parties and she invites ladies over and they have those little parties and so forth, because usually there are leftovers, all right? But boy, when my heart breaks when I walk in there and it's all gone because the boys made it there first, okay? Now, have you ever heard the expression, make yourself at home, all right? Just make yourself. Whatever is in the fridge, just make yourself at home. Now, that's like saying sick 'em to a teenage boy. And when you have two teenagers and a 20-something in your house, I mean, that means everything's going to be gone. All right? And you know what? When you invite a bunch of teenagers over to watch basketball or football or something like that, it's amazing how hungry they get with every play. They're dousing more down and more down and more down and run back to the refrigerator, get some more and come back in there, and they're just eating popcorn and chips and everything in the world. They're just making themselves at home, and that's wonderful. That's good. You know what the Lord Jesus wants to do? He wants to make Himself at home with you where He can use you up for His glory. Have you ever thought about spiritual economics in that way? Where He can just take you and just use you up for His glory. That's what Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Lord has used me up. And I'm glad to be used in that way. Now that's the first lesson in Spiritual Economics 101. You're not your own. And God should be able to use you up for His glory, where you will have this attitude where I will very gladly spend and be spent for, now notice, what's the pronoun there? You. Oh, wait, whoa. Now, in Economics 101, you don't spend on somebody else, you spend on whom? Yourself, right? But not in God's economic plan. It doesn't work that way. He told the Corinthians, who didn't love Him back, by the way, who believed all the lies, instead of commending Him, as He says there in verse 10, for I ought to have been commended of you. What did they do? They believed the lies. And they didn't support their spiritual father that had brought them into existence as believers in Christ. Instead, they believed the lies. But does Paul say, I'm going to take my marbles and go home? I'm done. They don't love me. And because they don't love me, I'm not going to waste any more time on them. No, that's not what he says. He says, I am glad to spend and to be spent. And then that said, for you there has another little Greek word that's not translated in the King James. For your soul. Now that goes deeper than just physical. We're talking about the eternal soul. Do you look at people that way? When a believer begins to realize the measure of the love of God in our hearts, then we begin deliberately and unselfishly to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ's interests in other people. You see how that works? As God's love works in my heart and I begin to realize how much He loved me and how He gave His Son for me, then I deliberately and on purpose begin to want to serve Him and the interest of other people, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in. He's interested in the souls of people. We have no right in Christian work. Now listen carefully. We have no right in Christian work to be guided solely by our likes and dislikes. I don't like that. I'm not going to go there. I don't like going there. I don't like going to convalescent center because it smells. I don't like going to visit the hospital because it just makes me sick. Going in there with all those people and all that smell of medicine in the air. Or I don't like going down to a funeral home because of, you know, it just gives me bad memories. Listen, you're making your decisions of life based upon what? You. Your likes and your dislikes. And as a Christian, now get this, as a Christian, I have no right. Because I'm telling the Lord what I will and what I will not do. And who's the master then? It's not him. It's me. You've got Christian service all backwards. All right? You've got it all backwards. You don't understand the principle of Spiritual Economics 101. I will gladly spend and be spent for your soul. That's the idea that's given to us. This is one of the biggest tests of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The delight of sacrifice is that I lay down my life for my Lord. I am not tossing it away on a whim, but deliberately laying my life out for Him and His interests in other people, not for a selfish cause. Anything other than, Lord, how can I be used? Lord, how can I spend and be spent? Is nothing but utter selfishness. You are part of the culture. You're not part of the reason why God saved you by His grace. Now, this is the heart and soul of where Paul goes with this. Because he's going to go to the second principle. We're going to get into that next week. What does it say there in the latter part of verse 15? Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Now, you talk about a lesson. That is a lesson, folks. If you say, well, that just doesn't work. You know, the more abundantly I love my dog, the more my dog abundantly loves me. That's what we expect, right? You know, we love our dog and our dog loves us. I love my child and my child loves me. I love my father and my father loves me. That's how we think things are going to happen. But Paul said in Christian ministry, it's not always that way. He said, I have poured myself out in love to you. And what have I gotten back in response? Not equal, not above, but below. That takes us to another principle. Some people serve in Christian ministries. Some people serve on a mission field for what they think they're going to get. You remember the stories of Hudson Taylor and William Carey and how it was years of ministry before they had their first convert, and churches were cutting off support to them because they weren't doing anything, but they were laying the groundwork of the gospel. And after 7 years, William Carey recorded his first convert, praising the Lord, rejoicing, and then it was the beginning of many, many more, one by one, that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There were a lot of people that didn't love William Carey. There were a lot of people that cut off support because, oh, the work's not going fast enough for us. But do we remember any of those churches or pastors that cut off support to William Carey? Anybody name any of them? When I say the name William Carey, you know who he is. That's the difference. William Carey had a heart to spend, and he did so happily, gladly. And boy, did he spend. He spent. He lost much in his endeavor to give the gospel. Folks, we need to get out of the I'm going to give to get mentality. We talked about didymi. Didymi, the Greek word, to give with both hands. This is what we're talking about. This principle is interwoven. If you'll look for it in the Scriptures, you'll find it just about everywhere of the way to live the Christian life. I will gladly spend and be spent for your soul. Somebody else, not me. And though I love you abundantly, and the love may not be reciprocal, I'll still do it. That is Christian living. That is Christian servant. That's spiritual economics 101. We're going to develop this further, Lord willing, next time as we consider God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank You for allowing us to gather together tonight. Bless us now as we go about our duties of the remaining part of this week. Now, Father, dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Watch over us, protect us, allow us to come back together, and may we be witnesses and testimonies for Thee in these days ahead. Help us, Father, to be thinking about Your love and concern for souls, and may we have the same heart. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.